talented Chaka Khan singing I'm Every Woman. Well, once again, it's time to go. And once again, it's time to remind you that you must apply for Social Security benefits. They do not come automatically. If you have any questions, just visit or call any Social Security office. They'll be glad to help you. Until next time, when we pay tribute to another genius on the black side, this is James Earl Jones saying so long.
Ready for a change of pace in your diet? Well, think lamb. If you buy a whole leg of lamb, you can have part of it cut into sirloin, chops, and steaks, and you can serve the remainder as a roast. Be sure to look for the U.S. Department of Agriculture grade shield with the letters USDA and the word prime or choice. It's your sign of quality. For more information on lamb, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Chase Belain with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Be like Joel. Call in. Be a part of the show. We always love
to hear
from our listeners.
Yes.
I was going to use this slot on the national news to talk about the rollout of the Green New Deal. Which has not been good. It has not been good.
I'm just going to take a quick nap while you rant about this.
It has been very, very, very bad, including language on things like cow farts.
Yeah.
And we're going to abolish air travel and replace it with high-speed rail over the world.
It's like... Moron Kool-Aid.
We're going to rebuild every building in America in 10 years.
Oh, my brain hurts.
Me
gusta nada.
The interesting thing about it is this thing dropped and everybody was all hyped up for it. You know, everybody was like, oh, the Green New Deal's coming. We're finally going to get to see what's in it. And then it dropped last Thursday afternoon and was immediately forgotten about. Like, no one in the media talked about it. They talked about it until they saw it.
That's so absurd.
And then they were like, okay, we're not. But all weekend long, everybody who's running for president had to listen to reporters say, hey, how do you feel about paying for people who are unwilling to work? How are we going to make that transatlantic high-speed rail line work? And all these political candidates are sitting around going, we don't know what you're talking about, because none of them, apparently the document that they put out, the FAQ that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's congressional staff put on the website was the wrong document.
That's
the cover story right now, Shay. They put out the wrong document.
For lack of a better term, and this is perhaps the most appropriate term, that is the frosting on the cake.
Yeah.
Like, it was already stupid, and now, oh, you put the wrong article. Like, you had one job.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that they actually put out the wrong document or that this thing has blown up in such a bad way that this is their cover. that this is, oh.
Like, oh, it's totally because we put the wrong document
out. Yeah. Like, oh, no. We didn't really mean rebuild every building in America. We didn't really mean.
You misinterpreted us.
Get rid of air travel. We didn't really mean a union job for every American. There were some things in there that were early draft language. It's like, yeah. So I have a feeling we will be discussing that at some point in the future, but.
Unfortunately.
I came across something much more timely. There is a map that has been posted online that was created. Who put this thing together? Satellite Internet, whoever they are. I don't know who they are. I've never heard of them before this.
I was going to say, that sounds like a very...
But they created a map of the United States. And
obscure name.
Listed the top Google Valentine's Day search for every state.
You guys are in so much trouble.
Well, this isn't just guys, Shay. This is what everyone is searching for. Okay, the women make up half the population, therefore they are responsible for.
Yeah, but all women do is sit and wait.
And by the way, women have a slightly higher daily web usage than men do. It's about. It's about 60-40.
Oh, well, perhaps we're making up for our wage disparity.
So you're responsible for more searches, and I know this because of my job in digital marketing and national trends. So we have this map that has the top Valentine's Day related searches. I don't know how they determined if it was a Valentine's Day search or not. That is the one big questionable thing here.
Oh my God, I'm looking at the map right now. This is hilarious.
Anyway, let me give you some highlights here. And I am going to preface this.
Oh my God.
I am going
this to. This is so absurd. This is so funny.
I'm going to preface this by saying romance is dead. Okay? Romance is dead.
Obviously, based on this map, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, pardon my French, but. Lobster recipe is Alaska.
Yeah, it's Alaska and also how to cook lobster tail in Montana. So they're cooking some nice dinner.
That's better than North Dakota, which is free e-cards.
Interestingly, Connecticut, New York, and Pennsylvania edible arrangements. Is the top search. So you're getting a fruit basket for Valentine's Day.
It's not super shocking that Vermont is Ben and Jerry's.
Vermont is Ben and Jerry's.
I love that Massachusetts is dirty.
Stop.
Sorry.
Stop.
Sorry.
My segment. Your segment. You get to decide what order these go in. So Vermont's top is Ben and Jerry's, obviously. New Hampshire is Lindt chocolate. So if you live in New Hampshire, kids...
That seems a bit weird to me. Like, I mean, is Lindt... I always thought of Lindt as, like, I don't think it's from New Hampshire. Like, I'm pretty sure Lindt... Isn't that British?
Yeah, no, it's Swedish or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's definitely not from America.
It's chocolate that they sell at the mall.
Well,
look, Lindt chocolate is good. I've given Lindt chocolate as gifts to people... for a number of years, and we'll...
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love Lindt chocolate. It's like silky. That's the way I always would describe it.
But it's just an interesting choice for New Hampshire in the same way that The Bachelor is an interesting choice for Maine. Like, apparently in Maine, they're going to spend Valentine's Day watching The Bachelor. Be careful if you find yourself in the states of Arizona or Tennessee, where the top search is venereal disease. Not sure what's going on in those states, but you don't want to be a part of it. Washington State is looking for chocolate shops. Oregon is looking for a cheese fondue recipe. So, again, we're thinking about some nice gifts that we might give somebody. The Midwest, we've got North Dakota is looking up free e-cards. And then we've got Minnesota. Is looking up Hallmark e-cards. And I guess in that part of the country, this makes sense because it is winter there. It is cold. There is a lot of snow. Nobody really wants to go out. So you're going to sit at home and you're going to send your sweetie a free e-card or a Hallmark e-card. Some of these are a little bit tricky to figure out on the edges of the states or on the eastern United States, what these are pointing to. Something called Trump Valentine is the top search in West Virginia. I don't understand that. I know that is MAGA country, if there is such a thing as MAGA country. But West Virginia is all about the Trump Valentine. Meanwhile, in Virginia, they're all about the Melting Pot, which is a chain of restaurants. It's a chain of fondue restaurants.
Wait, seriously?
Yes.
There is a chain of restaurants called the Melting Pot?
The Melting Pot is a popular fondue restaurant in Virginia, which is better than what you're going to get in North Carolina, where apparently Golden Corral prices.
Oh, my goodness.
Is the big thing they're looking at. Oh. Alabama and I think that's Kansas.
Where? Hang on, let me look. Alabama's right there.
To the left of Illinois. I think that's Kansas.
To the left of Illinois? No, it's...
that's Missouri.
It's Iowa.
Oh, Iowa. Thank you. Alabama and Iowa.
That's pretty adorable.
Are heading out for some pseudo fast food. Actually, Alabama's going to Longhorn Steakhouse. Iowa...
Oh, no. No, Iowa. That's not Iowa. That's...
that's Kansas. Or is that Missouri?
No. So it goes, let's see, Louisiana, Missouri, Iowa. What's below?
It's below Minnesota.
What's below Minnesota?
That's it's either Missouri or Kansas. It's Kansas. No.
No.
No, that's
Kansas,
Missouri.
Kansas is the Broken Hearts.
That's Missouri. Right?
No, Missouri's way more south than that.
Oh, no, that's Iowa.
That is Iowa.
That is Iowa.
You're right. Yeah.
Iowa's going to Texas. This is bad. Iowa and Indiana.
Oh, my God. We're both college-educated adults.
Iowa and Indiana are both going, well, we got to recognize these shapes on a map. Iowa and Indiana are both going to Texas Roadhouse. Ohio.
So absurd.
Ohio's going to Red Lobster.
Yeah.
South Carolina is going to Golden Corral.
Well, look at South Dakota, though. I don't know if you mentioned that while I was downstairs.
I haven't. South Dakota's heading Outback. Yeah. I guess they still have those out there. Now, these are still preferable. These are still better choices than where Louisiana and Illinois are going on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Hooters. Hooters is the top search in Louisiana and Illinois.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, for whatever reason, Nevada and Utah are all about the Brazilians. Because in Utah, the top search is Brazilian waxing. And in Nevada, the top search is Brazilian blowout.
Can I ask, what the hell is Friendship Day?
I have no idea.
Me neither.
Stupid.
Like, California, there's a reason I left you. You're all a bunch of morons. Not all of you, but a lot of you.
Washington, D.C., top search is Outback Menu. Maryland.
What's with Outback on Valentine's Day?
I guess they're giving away
like, free. Why are you in, like, a weird Australian steakhouse made?
They're looking for, like, heart-shaped steaks and blooming onions. Nothing says love like a blooming onion.
That is true.
But that's still better than Maryland as a whole, where the top search is CVS Photo. What the heck is that? Now, we get to the worst of the worst.
I was going to say, have you mentioned West Virginia yet?
The Trump Valentine? I don't know what Trump Valentine is.
What is that? It sounds terrible.
No idea. I have mentioned the venereal disease in Tennessee. And
I'm dating a dude from West Virginia right now. And I was just looking at this like, this is why we probably
If it gives you Valentine with Trump on it, you know, now you know what
like,
it is.
He doesn't like Trump. So his whole family does. He doesn't. So
now,
maybe it's not doomed.
Michigan. And Massachusetts, top search, Dirty Valentines.
I know.
So, Tom Brady isn't
We're a fun people.
Tom Brady isn't the only thing those two states have in common. We also love Dirty Valentines. By the way, Texas has joined in too, but they're a little more specific. They want Dirty Valentine's poems in Texas. Nothing, however, quite matches up to Rhode Island. Classiest state of the union. I am going to tell you right now.
Oh, my goodness. That is brilliant.
I am going to tell you right now that Rhode Island, at some point, Rhode Island must have broken off of either Mississippi or Alabama or maybe Arkansas.
And just kind of floated up the Atlantic.
Floated its way up here and wedged into a gap in New England, much the way that a piece of ground beef will wedge in a food trap when you have a cavity. The number one Valentine's Day search.
So awesome.
For Rhode Island is something called Steak and BJ Day. I cannot go into any further details about what this involves. That holiday takes place in March.
What I want to know is which happens first, the steak or the BJ?
I think they're meant to happen simultaneously. I don't know.
I mean, that sounds more like your boyfriend's birthday. Stay, like that to me.
Stay classy, Rhode Island. All I'm going to say.
I remember when I lived in California, people were like, so where is the dirtiest Boston accent from? Like the most hardcore. And I was like, it's
Southie.
Dorchester. Rhode Island.
No, that's not a Boston accent.
They have the New England accent.
Oh, okay.
But
oh,
theirs is really just gross.
Yeah, upstate Maine has got their thing,
that
too.
That, too. But no, I guess if you're talking, now I can't stop speaking in it. If you're talking like Irish Boston, then yeah. Dorchester and Southie.
Yeah, Dorchester.
But Dorchester.
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 Potatoes. That's what I love.
Potatoes.
My dad went through like speech therapy to get rid of his Dorchester
accent. We're having cabbage and potatoes.
And there are like three words that he still has a Dorchester accent with, and potatoes is one of them.
That's not that far off from the Irish. Potatoes.
Potatoes. Well, you know my theory.
We changed a T to a D.
You know my theory about the Boston accent,
yes,
right?
Yes, but we're not going to hear it now because we've got to get on to world news.
We do. Because we're...
Oh, it's Al Mikey D coming your way in 42
three,
minutes.
2.
42.
And I X'd out of it because
world?
I'm an idiot.
Do you want me to? No, I'm not even going to do that.
What?
I was going to say, do you want me to go first?
Yes, you can.
All right. In world news... A new book promise. Actually, no. I'm gonna, not that one. No, the new book.
The new book
is important, but we will have plenty of time to talk about this. In world news, good news for Vladimir Putin.
I always like to hear good news for Vladimir Putin.
Although NBC doesn't seem too proud of its own reporting because they put this up on their website yesterday and never talked about it again. And that was the end of it. And unless you happen to find a link to this story, you wouldn't know it exists. Senate has uncovered no direct evidence of conspiracy between Trump campaign and Russia. After 2 years and 200 interviews, the Senate Intelligence Community is approaching, or its Senate Intelligence Committee, is approaching the end of its investigation into the 2016 election, having uncovered no direct evidence of a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia, according to both Democrats and Republicans on the committee. But investigators disagree along party lines when it comes to the implications of a pattern of contacts they have documented between Trump associates and Russians. Contacts that occurred before, during, and after Russian intelligence operatives were seeking to help Donald Trump by leaking hacked Democratic emails and attacking his opponent Hillary Clinton on social media. Quote, if we write a report based upon the facts that we have, then we don't have anything that would suggest there was collusion by the Trump campaign and Russia, said Senator Richard Burr, Republican of North Carolina, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Community. Burr was careful to note that more facts may yet be uncovered, but he also made clear that the investigation was nearing an end. Quote, we know we're getting to the bottom of the barrel because there are not new questions that we're searching for answers to. On Tuesday, Burr doubled down, telling NBC News, quote, there is no factual evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Senator Mark Warner, Democrat of Virginia, ranking member of the committee, told reporters in the Capitol Tuesday that he disagrees with the way Burr characterized the evidence about collusion, but declined to offer his own assessment. Quote, I'm not going to get into any conclusions I have, adding that there's never been a campaign in American history that people affiliated with the campaign had as many ties with Russia as the Trump campaign did. Democratic Senate investigators who spoke to NBC News on condition of anonymity did not dispute Burr's characterizations, but said they lacked context. Quote, we were never going to find a contract signed in blood saying, hey, Vlad, we're going to collude, end quote, one Democratic aide said. Now, this is significant. This is significant because I said all the way back in, I believe, March or April of 2017, that you would never find anything, that nothing would come of the special counsel, that nothing would come of these investigations.
I do remember this, yeah.
Because you can't find something that doesn't exist. The Senate, which basically has conducted the same investigation that the special counsel is conducting, they've pretty much moved in lockstep through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Their conclusion is, yes, as a matter of fact, there was a lot of contact between people in the Trump campaign and Russians. What we don't have any evidence of is that the KGB is involved in this.
Yeah, that any of it was...
that there's any sort of deliberate attempt...
untoward.
Right. There's no quid pro quo. You give me this, you give me that. And even the Star, even the Ken Mueller's group, there have been leaks coming out of that investigation saying, we don't have anything that ties Trump to any of this.
But... from my point of view, okay, maybe everything that they have uncovered, whatever, was not, like I said, untoward. But isn't it just a little weird that our president and the people that work for him had so much contact with a country that historically, with the leader of a country that historically... we have butted heads with and not been cool with.
Which piece of history are you choosing to look at?
I mean, name my top five if you'd like.
If you're choosing to look at the Cold War, then I'd agree with you. But even during the Cold War...
the Cold War, the end of World War II, even though we were technically friends with them during that.
The end of World War II, we absolutely got along with them. Yeah, during World War II, we stopped the Germans together.
But I'm saying just after World War II, when they took the help that we gave them and did something different with it.
Well, they walled off Berlin, they walled off East Germany and said, no capitalists here.
That was
Stalin...
Wait, who's Stalin? I'm just kidding.
It's more complicated. It's more complicated.
Wouldn't it be funny if I didn't know who Stalin was?
It's more complex than that if you understand the history. If you understand...
Are you implying that I don't?
No, well, if you understand the history from the Russian perspective of Germany, that's where the United States and Russia found themselves at odds basically over Germany.
Yeah.
And Russia found itself at odds with the United States over the issue of nuclear weapons. Because Russia, at the end of the day, is a big, scaredy baby. It may be one of the largest countries on Earth.
It's also quite cold.
It may be one of the most industrially and militarily developed countries on Earth. But the history of Russia is a history of fear of its neighbors. It is sort of endemic in the Russian psyche.
Which is ironic because nobody has ever won a land war in Russia.
No,
like,
but...
No one has ever overcome them.
But the Germans, part of the reason that Napoleon failed in going into Russia, and part of the reason that Hitler failed in going into Russia, is that Russia had spent centuries fighting off the Germans. The Germans would regularly go over to Russia and kill... kill thousands of people, and then the Russians would have to drive them back into Germany. There is a saying in Russia, if you give a German a gun, he will use it to kill a Russian. Old Russian proverb.
That's insane.
That's their world.
That is a Russian
that's
proverb.
Their worldview. So, yes, if you grew up in the late 20th century, as we all did, there is a tendency to look at Russia and see an enemy. If you look closer into it, politically, it was convenient for Russia and the United States to oppose each other. And certainly on the military side of things, you are going to find generals and majors who will look at each other and say that is the single greatest threat to our existence because that's what they're paid to do. if you look at everything else that goes on, if you look at the economic community, if you look at the scientific community, if you look at the academic community, there has been regular collaboration between Russia and the United States, and we actually get along pretty well.
Well, I think what's difficult for me and what's difficult for a lot of people when it comes to the relationship between the United States and Russia is everyone I know who is from Russia escaped Russia. The word escaped was used. Like, one of my best friends, they snuck out of Russia and lived in Italy for 2 years. And another one snuck out of Russia and lived in Australia for 2 years, both before becoming to the, before coming to the United States. And it's difficult to, I mean, it's hard to compartmentalize things like that. Like to say, oh, well, politically, maybe we're actually buddies, when you have people who literally risk their lives to get out of this country. Like, my friend Tatiana, her parents had her, like, in a backpack when they left Russia. Like, they, like, snuck her over a border. Like, it's difficult,
but that's also
to try to marry that thought.
That also belongs
to we're buddies. Like,
that also belongs to a different period in Russian history.
Yeah,
that's the Soviet era, and we're past. Like,
but I mean,
you can kind of go from Russia all you want now.
But this is 1988. I mean, it's not like we're talking about like 1908.
No,
like,
it's
isn't very long ago.
It's not that long ago.
And it's hard to, like I said, it's hard to not marry those thoughts.
Right. No, because we have a lot of recent history that suggests that, you know, Russia's not a good place and Russians are bad people and all of this. But if you look at the larger history, I mean, really the period that you're talking about is a 50-year period during and after World War II, when nobody's allowed out of Russia and Cold War is going on and the arms race with the United States. This is the context that most of us have. But even during that time, there was a tremendous amount of cooperation taking place between individuals in various walks of life in Russia and the United States. Mm. Okay? Economic cooperation. There was scientific cooperation. There was space cooperation. There was agricultural cooperation.
We really wanted to get to the moon before then.
It's really, you know, you've got the military over here being like, hey, you're our enemy. We're going to fight you. And then you got everybody else who's like, let them do what they're doing. We're doing fine, you know? We did not have the same level of restrictions and economic sanctions on Russia that we did on a place like Cuba or North Korea.
That's true.
Okay? There's a radically different relationship that's happening there. And yes, our goal through doing all of that was basically to say, if we show the Russians democracy enough, sooner or later they're going to come around. Well, sooner or later they did. And you have democracy such as it is in Russia right now. Things are certainly better than they were during the Soviet era, although Putin is slowly rolling some of those those advancements back.
I was going to say, he's very sleight of hand-ish about that.
But from a political perspective, the thing that I find interesting about this is, you know, it was 6 years ago, Barack Obama has been reelected, and we're talking about
it.
The pivot to Russia. Remember when the pivot to Russia was going to, there was going to be a pivot to Russia. And
yeah, I kept thinking he was making a Friends reference.
And we were going to establish great new relationship with Russia. And we were going to open up Russia. And we were going to have all this economic development cooperation with Russia. Well, Putin then goes and invades Crimea and shoots down a passenger jet. And
sorry, that wasn't. I wasn't laughing. That wasn't funny. It's just funny that that was his reaction to, like, let's be friends.
Well,
okay, I'm going to do this instead.
Putin's got a lot of things going on. You know, Putin's got one thing going over here. He's got another thing over here. And it's like, Putin kind of knows what he's doing. You know,
Putin always reminds me of, like,
I can take Crimea. It's gonna blow up all these economic deals that we're talking about, but it won't change anything we have now.
Putin always reminds me of one of those guys that you knew in high school that was in too many extracurricular activities and just couldn't focus on one. So he, like, kind of half-assed every single one he did. Like, that's the way that Putin...
I think he makes some rash choices.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, all right, I'm just going to... You know what? I don't have time to think about this. Let's just do this. Like, That's the way I always think about it.
Because spend 10 years building up goodwill with somebody and then be like, oh yeah, we got to go invade that country. Yeah. Like, what? What? No. No, that's not how this works anymore.
Yeah. Like, dude, take 2 seconds to sit down and think about this.
Yeah.
Well, for me, speaking about that area of the world, all flights in and out of Belgium have been canceled for a 24-hour period as air traffic controllers have decided to go on strike. It affects all flights in all airports in the country, including Brussels Airport, which is the main international one. Skies, Belgium's air traffic control authority, said in a statement that it was, quote, forced not to allow air traffic, end quote, from yesterday at 10 p.m. local time to 10 p.m. local time today.
Oof.
Yeah. A spokesperson for Skies told CNN today that no commercial aircraft flying below 8,000 meters. So do the math in your head. That's basically any aircraft flying below the clouds.
Yeah, this basically means nothing is flying in Europe.
Would be allowed in Belgian airspace, which for those of you who don't know where Belgium is, it is the crux of Europe.
Everything goes through Belgium.
Exactly. Like this isn't just screwing up flights going into Belgium. This is screwing up everything in Europe right now.
If you're flying to Europe from the United States,
you're screwed.
Unless
you're going to Ireland or England.
You are either stopping in Ireland or you are stopping in London or you are stopping in Belgium. It depends on where you're going.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's always the stop.
If you're going further east...
Like, I've been to that airport like 6 times.
If you're going further east than London, you're not.
You're not going.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, theoretically, you can fly between... France and the United Kingdom, so that'll be okay. And that means...
Or Spain, like you can go to Spain.
Right.
Once you get east of there, you're screwed.
So you're not going to any of the Scandinavian countries.
Yeah, you're not going to Slovakia, you're not going to the Czech, you're not going to the Netherlands. What's crazy is the strike was called by 3 different major unions who are just asking for higher wages. But the Skies air traffic controllers manage over 3,000 aircrafts daily, making over 1 million flight movements a year.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry if you wanted to go get stoned in Amsterdam. You're not going to.
This is the equivalent of shutting down O'Hare.
Yeah.
And what that would do.
I was going to say, exactly. It's like you're just shutting down everything.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I mean, I've never actually been to Brussels. Like, I've never gotten out of the airport and hung out there. I've been to that airport at least 6 times.
Yeah.
Just because
anyone who flies in Europe has.
I would say it's always that or Zurich. Like, it's always, that's like the crux. That's where it's like, okay, if you're going to fly from the United States, this is where you stop, and then you hop over somewhere else.
Yeah. Centrally located, generally neutral, convenient to everybody.
Yeah.
Bad place to have an air traffic strike.
Good cheese.
I will give you a choice of sports or entertainment, and I know what you're going to choose. So,
in entertainment news.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez is preparing for her milestone 50th birthday in July.
Who is this a milestone for other than her?
I mean, your 50th is a big deal. We made a big deal for my mom's. Mom, just kidding, you're 40.
Is Ben Affleck going to be there?
Well, no. Apparently, she appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show where she revealed that this summer she decided she wanted to do something big for her 50th. And is going on a U.S. tour, calling it "It's My Party." I know.
So this is actually a marketing play. This is personal branding.
Absolutely. She's going to do around 28 shows. She said it's kicking off on June 7th in Phoenix. And is going to make stops in Los Angeles, Houston, Chicago, her hometown of New York, and more before wrapping on July 26th in Miami, Florida. It will also feature the World of Dance experience, in which audiences will be treated to surprise dance guest performances by stars from the NBC dance show World of Dance, which Jennifer Lopez is the host of.
Never seen that show. Don't know what
I didn't
is.
Even know what it was until I won't lie to you, until I saw this. I love J-Lo. I will say, ever since I was a kid watching In Living Color, she was one of the fly girls. When I went to college at Fordham, she grew up two blocks from where I live.
Yeah, Jenny on the Block. No, I mean, I like Jennifer Lopez. I'm just
this is still absurd.
Don't
get me wrong. That's why I included it, because I knew it would make you angry.
I'm going to celebrate my 50th birthday with a national tour and synergy with my NBC program.
Everybody how I still look 28.
Yeah, give me a break.
I do love that her and Lee Remini are best friends.
I would rather.
Largely because they're both just deep down, just New York trash.
I would rather that she'd gone on, it was Ellen DeGeneres where she promoted this?
Yes.
I would rather she'd gone on Ellen and was like, I am going to velvet rope myself at LA's hottest club and do blow and drink Dom Perignon all night long. And that's going to be my
50th. That sounds like a way more fun time.
Yeah. Then I'm going on a national tour. It's my party.
For a bunch of millennials who don't know any of my songs.
Wow. You do you, Jenny on the Block. You do you.
I'm still Jenny Block.
From the rap, Academy sparks outrage. By the way, programming note. Next week will be our annual Oscars program.
Oh, so is Molly coming back?
Yes, she is. And I'm going to tell you
Molly Gary, I like you better than your husband.
I'm going to tell you how to win your Oscar pool. And this is advice coming from the guy who wins his Oscar pool every year. I'm narrowed down. I've only got a couple of categories I'm still working on here. But from the rap, Academy sparks outrage for dumping 4 Oscar categories to commercial breaks. Quote, I am so pissed off. The Academy's decision to present 4 categories: cinematography, film editing.
Wait, they got rid of cinematography? That's my favorite one.
Cinematography, film editing, film editing.
Joking?
Makeup and hairstyling and live action shorts.
What? They didn't even have that on the live air.
During commercial breaks on this year's Oscar show has been greeted with widespread outrage, with the condemnation stretching from Oscar watchers to past Oscar winners Guillermo del Toro, Alfonso Cuarón, and Emmanuel Lubezki. Quote,
cinematography is the best part of film.
If I may.
It was my focus in college. Are you kidding me?
Quote, if I may, I would not presume to suggest what categories to cut during the Oscars show, but cinematography and editing are at the very heart of our craft.
Thank you.
Del Toro, last year's Best Director and Best Picture winner on Twitter. They are not inherited from a theatrical tradition or a literary tradition. They are cinema itself.
I wrote a 20-page paper about the cinematography in American Beauty.
Cuarón, a multiple nominee this year for Roma, also weighed in. Quote, in the history of cinema, all caps from Mr. Quarles, masterpieces have existed without sound, without color, without a story, without actors, and without music. No one single film has ever existed without cinematography and without editing.
Thank you.
Go, Quarles.
I want to punch my computer screen right now.
And Lubezki, the only cinematographer to win 3 consecutive Oscars, wrote on Instagram, quote, cinematography and editing are probably the elementary particles, the primordial components of cinema. It's an unfortunate decision. Those responses were among...
Unfortunate is being light.
Those responses were among the more measured comments on social media, or for that matter, the comments from affected Academy members reached by the rep on Monday. According to the email sent to members, the 4 categories will be presented during commercial breaks in the Oscar telecast, but live streamed on Oscar.com and on the Academy's social media accounts. They will then be slightly edited and will appear later on during the telecast, which will save time by eliminating the winners' walks to the stage. On Twitter, the hashtag #PresentAll24 has been in use ever since the Academy announced last August that it would move some categories, then undisclosed, into the breaks. But when the affected categories were revealed on Monday, the conversation heated up, with the Academy drawing fire both for the decision to hand out any awards off the air and for the choice of categories, which it said will change every year. Now,
I hate this so much.
Now, this is interesting.
I hate.
This is interesting.
This.
The here's what happens. The way that they choose these, the Academy reaches out to all the different branches of the Academy and says, "Will you volunteer to have your award given during the commercial breaks?" And if they say yes, then they go. And if they say no, then it's like, "All right, we're just going to pick four." Now,
why would you freaking say yes?
Now, this is where this gets interesting. Mark Harris, who is an author and journalist, wrote on Twitter, "This is a failure of stewardship, a failure of nerve, a failure of producing, a failure to understand television, a failure of network custody of the Oscars, and a failure of Academy governments. This is about ABC using the falling ratings for all awards shows as a way to tell the American Motion Picture Academy, you're doing it wrong, with the goal of turning the show into an infomercial for commercial Hollywood product, including its own, and the Motion Picture Academy being too naive about TV to know that it is being played." So Mark Harris is basically saying Disney conspiracy. Disney wants this night to be all about Disney, and they're moving out categories where Disney won't win. Curiously, the categories that have been moved out are not categories that Disney is expected to win, or categories where Black Panther is nominated. Every year we sit around, we bitch about how long the Oscars are, right? Every year we do this.
Don't, because I know the people that hold the boom mic or who do the makeup who pick the wardrobe are working their butts off. And just like the most important thing in any movie, just like Guillermo del Toro said, is cinematography and editing. That's the most important thing. That's what makes a movie good, go from good to great or go from good to terrible. Like that is the most important step in making a movie. I don't care about the actors, about the soundtrack, about the shooting.
But here's
the cinematography.
Here's the problem. I have hosted a decent number of live performances over the years. Shay, you've hosted some.
Yes.
I've hosted them in a variety of different settings.
I've hosted some. I've hosted a bunch.
You've hosted a bunch. I've hosted it. So I look at this from the perspective of time.
Yeah, I understand that.
You have 24 awards to give out. You have a three-hour telecast, but you don't have a three-hour telecast because 48 minutes of that telecast are actually going to be commercials.
Yeah.
You have 2 hours and 12 minutes. If you allocate 5 minutes for each award, including a 90-second acceptance speech, you are now left with 3.5 minutes to explain what the award is, to list the nominees, and to give it some measure of context. It doesn't work.
But, babe, I mean, there were always, like, costumes, makeup. The smaller ones were always, like, they do it, like, really quickly. I don't get why we can't just keep doing that. And because those people, even though maybe they're not the best director or something, or best actress, they still work their butts off.
I agree.
And they still deserve to be, I mean, even when they included those awards and would do it like in the aisle, like totally, like kind of backhandedly, I remember just thinking, like, these people work so hard, and like I remember seeing that movie and how good the costumes were.
Here's I have two ways that you'd fix this. Number one, you take a whole bunch of awards that aren't majors.
Make all the divas stop talking so much when they win.
That aren't majors, that are less interesting.
Have it be a different show.
And have it be a different show.
Yeah.
Okay. Make that a different telecast.
Like still give it the credit that it's deserved.
And you know, when you air that, you air it at 7 o'clock when everybody else is doing their red carpet nonsense. Put on all of the
That's very smart. Yeah, it would take 1 hour to do it.
We're going to give you all these, and then we're going to have more time for screwing around for the next, you know, 2 hours and 12 minutes that we actually have for the show. The other thing that you can do is you give out all of those awards, say, between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. The main Oscars telecast still starts at 5 o'clock. So you give them all out between 3 and 5. And then you throw those edited excerpts in during the show. so that they still have...
So like when people are walking up to the stage or something, or when people are setting up for a performance.
When you're switching from one category to another, throw another one in there. Now you're giving your hosts more time to get out and get settled. You can make it work that way.
That's what I'm saying is it's unfair.
The commercial thing.
The people...
Cinematography.
Cinematography is one of the most important things in making a film. Like, Oh, that made me really mad. Well, and especially because the irony of it is the big categories. I'm not saying that actors, directors, writers, what have you, don't work hard. They definitely work hard. But the irony of it is that cinematographers, editors, those people are the ones that work the hardest, that sit there for 80 hours a week.
No one is going to see them without cinematography.
Exactly. Like, that's the thing. It's like...
And no
they
one is,
have the least glamorous job, and they work the hardest.
No one is going to see them without cinematography. No one is going to understand them without editing. This is WMFO Medford on the Tell Mikey D. Coming your way about 15 minutes from now. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And
you just got me so mad. I have to calm down.
I know. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. This will put you in a good mood, because if this guy doesn't get you in a romantic mood, nobody will. We'll be back right after this with our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
That's what the world is made of. So give me more melody, love. Love is a walk down Main Street. Love is an apple, honey, so sweet. Love is something that can't be beat. Love is strange to me. Oh, I can't explain. Is free. It's all in the heavens, can't you see? You can always depend on me to give you love. Love is a fire in my soul. Love is a story that can't be told. Can't you feel it burning more and more? Stop and look at the big wheel roll.
play another match?
I don't think so.
What's the matter? You got a date or something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's his name?
just a second. Bill. No, Steve.
What you gonna do?
Let's have a little fun, you know.
Cindy, does he have an STD?
A what?
A sexually transmitted disease.
I have no idea.
Sexually transmitted diseases. Something to avoid. Because STDs don't make decisions. People do. A message from the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. As always, with me is the illustrious Derek Gary. We're about to wrap things up, but before we do, we want to tell you what's hot, which is our favorite thing from the past or coming week. For me, I love donating blood, and Mass General is giving you even more incentive to do so this February. Any Thursday in February, you can go donate blood at Mass General, and they will give you a cupcake from one of the best bakeries in Boston. They're sampling from all different bakeries. All of them, though, it's like the coolest cupcake you've ever had. And like they have a whole lineup. You can go if you want to thebostoncalendar.com. Just type in 9th annual cupcake tasting event at MGH. This is the 9th year they've done this. But I've done it before. It's always just like the best cupcakes ever.
They should call it like Bleed for Sweets or give it like, you
I was
know.
Gonna say, give it some kind of cool name. Yeah. Like, but they get them from
someone
like
someone will bring the goth kids in.
They get them from like Magnolia Bakery. Like they're not messing around. Like these are like really good.
Those
cupcakes.
Magnolia cupcakes are very good.
Oh yeah, they are. Very good. But yeah, if you guys want to make an appointment though, you can call 617-726-8171 or email A.R. Greenstein. That's like the word green and then STIN at mgh.harvard.edu. It's totally worth it. I mean, nice. They always give you cool stuff there when you donate blood. But in February, it's like, ooh, yeah, I want to give you some blood.
As we mentioned, the Oscar show is coming up next week. And if you would like to see the Oscar shorts, you have more choices than ever this year. The Oscar shorts program is becoming popular. They opened it in a record number of theaters this past weekend. It made nearly $1 million in box office this past weekend, which is great. I will tell you, the animated shorts this year is probably the best selection I've seen since I've been going. There are no weak links at all. They're all entertaining films. The live action shorts this year, unless you're really into dead children or children who kill children.
That might be the weirdest sentence I've ever heard.
Or children who may be dead, you might want to, or children who kill, you may want to skip the live action shorts. We'll get into this next week, but the live action shorts were like horrifying this year. So if you want to see them, you got plenty and plenty of choices. Just right around here, the West Newton Cinema 6 has the animation and live action shorts. The Somerville Theater, the street from WMFO,
right in Davis, yeah.
Davis Square, the Somerville Theater has got animation, live action, and documentary shorts. The Kendall Square has got live action and animation. The Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline, animation, live action, and documentary. The ICA has got animation, live action, documentary if you're down by the seaport. And if you're in the North Shore, the Cinema Salem 4 has got animation, live action, and documentary. Highly, highly, highly recommended. These are fun. Well, the animation program is fun.
The ones about children killing each other or dying or whatever you were implying.
I will say this. If you are a fan of cinema, if you are not somebody who blinks at, you know, atrocity
and
horrifying things, And you like challenging cinema, you will like the live action shorts.
Derek, stop describing me. It's getting creepy.
If you are a squeamish, or you know, easily upset type of person,
so don't bring my mother, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's it's bad. It's bad. Like the actual on screen violence isn't.
It's more the implication that's involved.
One of the subjects of the films is the murder of James Bulger by...
Oh, that's really cool.
By Thomas and Venables in 1992.
Yes, I know. In 1992, I remember that.
And they go into considerable detail about what happened. So that's what you're up against if you go to see this.
Do I sound like a terrible person that I really, really want to see this?
It's a really good movie.
It sounds dope.
We'll talk about it more next week.
Yes. But first... WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture. But before we go, we want to tell you that's a thing that happened, which is the craziest news story that basically we could find from last week. For me, going to our favorite state, Derek.
Florida.
Yes, Florida.
Florida.
A 48-year-old woman from Brooksville, Florida, was arrested after she allegedly hit her boyfriend with a frozen pork chop. Police said that Jennifer Brassard got into a verbal argument with her boyfriend, which quickly escalated. During the fight, Brassard grabbed a frozen pork chop and hurled it at the unidentified man, striking him in the head. He suffered a half-inch cut above his eyebrow and fled from the home. Authorities determined that Brassard was the primary aggressor in the fight, though they did not say what the two were arguing about. The next day, authorities arrested Brassard and charged her with misdemeanor domestic battery. She was released on $250 bail.
Did she yell, "This is MAGA country," while she was hawking the pork chop?
I mean, do you really have to yell that when you're throwing a frozen pork chop at someone? I feel like it's implied.
I want to know what the dispute was about. You know, it's they're throwing a lot of food.
Probably that the pork chop was still frozen.
They're throwing a lot of food down in that state right now. Is all I'm going to say. That's like the third food-related battery case that's come out of Florida.
I know. That's why I had to include it. I was just like, I can't believe this is happening again.
Yeah. Florida.
Of course, Florida.
Yes, where else? Florida.
We should just, honestly, I'm thinking of getting a subscription to a Florida newspaper just so I can keep up to date.
This one's a little bit surprising. This is not a Florida man story. Get to Universal Orlando fast because I cannot believe this will be around for long. A new member has joined the costumed meet and greet crew from the animated film Trolls. Guy Diamond, who walks around the park stark naked,
what?
Does a dance, then farts glitter at guests.
Oh, I did see this.
Because troll nudity is appropriate for children. Twitter user Jake C gets it, tweeting, quote, "I vote for Universal Glitter Farting Troll for the halftime show next year."
I mean, to be perfectly frank, if I was a child going to one of the parks in Orlando, I would find that utterly hilarious.
And if you were a parent, you'd be saying,
I would be dazzled.
Get that naked glitter farting troll away from my young person.
But he's blue.
It doesn't matter what color he is. Okay. And I don't mean that in any sort of way.
I was going to say, that implicated so much more than it was meant to.
I am colorblind. I am colorblind.
When it comes to trolls.
When it comes to mascots without pants, okay? It really, I don't care if you're orange or flame
God,
pink.
Oh, God, tonight's show really went off the rails, didn't it?
This or is whatever
just a perfect
you are.
Example of that.
This is appalling. Like, who's sitting around like, you know what? You know what the park needs?
Well, that's what's weird is I didn't even actually read an article about it. I literally was just scrolling through Facebook and just saw a butt with sparkles coming out.
Yeah. Disney, it's like, well, you know, Disney has their new...
What can we do to spice things up a little bit? Disney, let's have a troll fart sparkle.
Yeah. Disney has their new Star Wars land. They're making a lot of money. What do we got? Have I got an idea for you? The troll farts glitter. It farts glitter. Universal, this is why you will always be number two. That is all the time we have for this week. Remember, next week, Oscar show. We will have your Oscar picks.